My name either, sir. Sorry. Randy, you just let me know if something untoward happens here. Thank you for coming today. I realize it's Labor Day weekend and many will be away. I remember one time we went to the church my grandmother grew up at, and we heard a nice sermon on what labor's all about. And it wasn't the ladies experiencing labor, it was the workforce. And I thought, that's interesting. Well, that's appropriate for Labor Day. This morning, I would like to deal with a very simple passage. Most of you could recite it, probably by heart. You've heard about it many times. It is simply the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. And to get us started today, I asked one who I greatly respect, Victor, who has been in our Lifeline group for some time. They've been in Canada for a few years. I've asked Victor to come and read the 23rd Psalm and then just share his perspective on what that is saying to him. Victor was a teacher in China. He taught Chinese history at the college university level in China, and has some of our Chinese friends that have come to Canada. So thank you, Victor, for being willing to just read to us the 23rd Psalm and then share whatever you feel that that is telling you. Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, let me read Psalm 23. I'm older and older, so I have to far away. A song of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for you are with me. Your law and your staff, you comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my hand with oil. My car overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of law forever. When I read in Bible and this paragraph, I think I am very enjoying and look forward to it. Such as, you know, lie down the green pastures, besides quiet waters, resource soul, in paths of righteousness, comfort me, my cup overflows, goodness and love follow me, such as. So, I think how to feel and got it in my daily life. This is my distance with you, Christians. So, I have been keeping to try my best to close you, the church, and Jesus God. So I hope to know more, to know very well about the Bible, and like this, the songs. So I hope, I also hope, delete my distance with you and became a member of you. Thank you.
One day we too pray, Victor, that you will be a believer like we are. Thank you. The 23rd Psalm. It was written by David. David was a good shepherd who became king and had the good shepherd as his shepherd. We pick up the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 13. We read about Saul. Saul had been king over Israel for about 40 years. He was about 70 years of age at this point. And the story in 1 Samuel talks about a difficult time in Saul's life. He had been king, and Samuel was given the task to go and speak to Saul and say, "Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you." In Psalm, in 1 Samuel 13, verse 13, "You have acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command." That must have been a difficult word for Saul to hear. But Saul knew his own heart. And God knew his heart. And God knew the heart of another man that was a boy, actually. In one of Apostle Paul's brief history lessons in the New Testament, on a missionary journey he had with Barnabas, Paul said these words in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to." What kind of a person is that? A man after God's own heart. That kind of a person will have God's agenda at heart. What is God doing? And how can we come alongside and be part of what God is doing? We can conjure up lots of programs and activities, all of which we think are important. But what is God doing? That's what we need to determine. We need to talk to him and find out. By prayer. Dave mentioned that earlier on today with Glenn, one of the organizations that I had an involvement with in the past was SIM. SIM is a mission that's been around for 125 years. There's some people here today that still have an involvement with SIM. It's a great, great organization. What is their motto? By prayer. As they seek to minister in the days that lie ahead to a very needy world. So a kind of person who is a man after God's own heart will have God's agenda at heart. He'll always inquire of God before any major move or any major ministry. He'll always inquire of God, "Is this of you?" He'll obey God's revealed plan and orders. When God reveals himself and gives him instruction, A man after God's own heart will obey. And he'll totally trust God in any circumstance. So have you had any circumstance lately where you need to trust? We're all different. We'll all have different circumstances. We just need to trust. Are we like David? And follow God? Or are we like Saul, who decided on his own? 1 Samuel 15 speaks about a story where Saul, of course, is still king at this point, but he has not done everything that the Lord told him to. We can read the passage in verse 3, and this sounds rather harsh, of 1 Samuel 15. Now go, attack the Amalekites, and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. It's amazing, a God of love. Verse 9. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Was that God's command? No. But that's what Saul took upon himself to do. It was interesting that later Saul said he would sacrifice what the Lord had told him to destroy. That's why he kept the best of the lambs. We're going to sacrifice. Verse 15. Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." Verse 20. "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king." Interesting sentence. "The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder and best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God at Gilgal." Saul sounds a little bit like Adam. Adam in the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, was given an instruction not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the serpent, who was very subtle, approached Eve, not Adam, and inquired, "Well, what did God really say?" And he listened to what Eve had replied, and the serpent detected that Eve added something. So she didn't really totally understand God's word, because it was given to Adam, and it was based upon his communication with Eve as to what the word had come to Adam. And the serpent was able to convince Eve, "No, eat it, that's fruit's good, eat it." She did. She gave it to Adam, he ate it. And the Lord appeared. And Adam, guilty. So what did he try to do? Hide. What was Adam's manly response? "Eve, the woman you brought me, she's to blame." Spoke to Eve, "The serpent, she's to blame." See, Saul was not unlike humankind. We need to blame. And there's somebody that's caused us, something has caused us to do whatever it is that we do. Verse 16, in chapter 16, the Lord God directs Samuel to go to the house of Jesse. Interesting, when you read that passage, when God told Samuel, and it was God that told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse, what was Samuel's attitude? He was afraid. He said, if Saul ever finds out this, he'll kill me. Probably would have. But even obeying God brought fear to Samuel. But nonetheless, he went. And he was presented with Jesse's boys. Jesse called them together. And first of all, the first son that came before Jesse, or before Samuel, was Eliab, the oldest. And Samuel looked at this fine, strapping young man and thought, surely he's the one. No. You see, God looks at the heart, not outward appearance. Samuel didn't know Eliab's heart. But God did. How's your heart? That's what God looks at. Eliab was rejected. Son number two, Abinadab. No. Number three, Shammah. No. Son number four, five, six, seven. No, 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 no. That's all that was there. Are these all? Do you have any more sons? Jesse, well, yes, we have one, a boy, but he's out tending the sheep. Samuel says, bring him. It was interesting. Jesse was instructed to take all his sons, but he didn't bring David. There is the youngest, Jesse answered in 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. But he's tending the sheep. The shepherd boy. The one whose shepherd was the Lord. The psalm that Victor read to us this morning. Another good-looking young man when he appeared. Samuel was impressed with Eliab, and he was also impressed with David. What was he like? Verse 18 of chapter 16 tells us, in the midst of a difficult circumstance that Saul was going through, you see, when Saul decided not to do everything that the Lord had told him to do, he was leaving himself open for interesting influences. And evil spirits were plaguing Saul. Paul's name was Saul, by the way. But evil spirits were plaguing Saul, and to be comforted, he wanted somebody to spend time with him while being plagued, somebody who could play the harp. And a servant of Saul. Verse 18, one of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. I don't know how he knew that. He is a brave man and a warrior. Yeah, David had a sling. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. And what's most important, and the Lord is with him. This is the one who was a man after God's own heart. Well, we pick up the story in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. Israelites and the Amalekites. They were at war. They faced each other. There was a valley between them, and there was a stream in that valley. David's three oldest brothers, were with Saul when they were fighting the Philistines. And of course, the Philistines, I mentioned the Amalekites before, it was the Philistines, sorry. And the Philistines had a champion, Goliath. The Bible says Goliath was 9 feet tall. And he would come out day by day and taunt the Israelites. And they didn't know how to handle that. So they would retreat. Jesse, the father of the three who were part of the army of Saul, he sent David to see them. He sent them along with a little home cooking just to see how the boys were doing. And when David got there, he just observed things. What he was observing was that the Israelites were seeing the problem, Goliath, but not God. And we are let in a little kind of family secret here. His older brother, Eliab, when David arrived, he went and talked to, said hello to his brothers. Then he went and talked to some of the other men. And Eliab didn't like him saying what he did. Verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. This is his brother. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom do you have those few sheep? Who did you leave them with in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. You just came down here for a sightseeing venture. I know how wicked your heart is. Really? That's not what God saw. Eliab, he may have been still smarting from the fact that when he was presented, he was rejected. I don't know. He wasn't even chosen. So, how's your heart? Like David? Or Eliab? Those are choices we have to make. Israel faced a really big problem. Goliath. But Goliath is not as big as David's God. Are you having any Goliath-like circumstances in your life lately? Any problems? Major problems? Look to the Lord. So David volunteers. Verse 32. Chapter 17. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Why do you think he would volunteer? This man taunting the Israelites day by day? 9 feet tall, full armor, because David was brave. Verses 34 to 37, the same chapter. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it." Can you imagine? "I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of a lion and the paw of a bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David was brave. And David was a warrior, according to what the servant said. What was his weapon? Sling. Three years ago, you may remember, those of you who are interested in sports, there was a professional basketball player who once asked if he enjoyed practice. The man's name was Allen Iverson. He said, "Practice? What a disdainful, wasteful thing to do. Practice?" David practiced. When he was tending those sheep, he was practicing with his sling. He'd pick off some of these lights or something, and he became accurate with that sling. He was deadly accurate with that sling. Goliath, he found out. Yes, David was a good shepherd. But David's shepherd, the Lord, is the good shepherd. There's only one. David looked after and protected the sheep. It was Jesus, the good shepherd, who said in John chapter 10, John chapter 10, we'll pick up the account in verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, then the wolf does that." That wasn't David's experience as a good shepherd. He went after the lion and the bear with a sling. That's probably what he struck them with. "The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Do you know the good shepherd? "Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And in verse 17, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." Jesus said he was willing to lay aside his authority and willingly let man do what man thought that man ought to do: crucify him. The Romans did that at the request of the Jewish leaders because that was man's response. But it was Jesus willingly laid down his life to be obedient to his Father, the good shepherd. It's no wonder David could write what he did in Psalm 23. The psalm that was read. And David knew that he would not be in want, verse 1 of that psalm. He would not be in want of anything. He knew his needs would be met. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches." There is not a need that you have, a need, not a want, a need that you have that will not be met. He's able. It's according to his riches. David knew he could enjoy quietness and solitude, comfort and contentment. Victor mentioned that. And refreshing of his soul, restoration from sin. David was a man after God's own heart. Was he without sin? No. You recall the account of David and when he lingered a little long on the rooftop one day and saw that beautiful woman kind of next door and said, wow. He ended up taking her as his wife. For, of course, he had to have arranged that her husband was killed in battle. And he could also, he knew that he would receive refreshing of his soul, restoration from sin. So how's your soul? Need anything that David knew God, the Good Shepherd, would provide? David knew that he would be led in paths of righteousness through instruction from God's Word. That's where we learn about the paths of righteousness. God will lead David. David knew that God would lead David into those paths, and God would lead David while he was on those paths. What David needed to do, what we need to do, stay in the path. David knew he could walk through the valley and get through the shadow of death. It's only a shadow. Never separated from God, even in the valley. His soul will get through, taken through by the Good Shepherd. I remember when Francis' brother Bruce was dying of pancreatic cancer. I went to see him in the hospital. And we chatted, and Bruce said that his concern was, he said, I wonder what's going to happen to me when I close my eyes for the last time. What a question. I said, I don't know, Bruce, but I do know, according to the Bible, God's Word, that you're not going to go through that alone. Psalm 23 says that. Never leave me, never forsake me. You can never be separated, even in the valley. Your soul will get through, taken through by the Lord. David knew that he would experience goodness and mercy all his earthly life, and then move on to a better place, to the house of the Lord forever. I don't know if you're like me. When I was a kid, trying to figure out how long is forever. And I could never really understand that, how long forever is. And the only way I could ever think in my mind that would satisfy me was if I could draw a perfect circle. You wouldn't know where that circle began, and you wouldn't know where that circle ended. And that's the only way I could ever figure out what eternity meant. Is it never, 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 never going to end? A place being prepared by the Good Shepherd. Must be some place. He's been preparing it for quite some time. Good shepherds take care of the sheep now. David took care of the sheep. A friend of mine who was on the team board raises sheep. He's taking care of the sheep now. The Good Shepherd takes care of his sheep now and forever. Have you met the Good Shepherd? Do you know him? Is David's shepherd your shepherd? Do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? You can, because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, made that possible at Calvary. We don't have the light on here today. Yes, we do. Don't focus on anybody standing up here. That's what you focus on. The cross, Calvary. Will you confess your sin and by faith accept David's shepherd, Jesus, as your Savior and receive forgiveness? You can do that right now, right where you are. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. You may not have another opportunity. And if you do, you can now say like David, the Lord is my shepherd. That would be our prayer, that everyone here this morning can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And what about those of us who are believers? Are you staying on the path? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of having your word, the word of God, in our hands. Help us now to be willing to listen to it and be willing to apply its truths to our lives. Thank you for loving us more than we could ever imagine. Thank you for your willingness to go all the way to Calvary to demonstrate that love. Thank you for David, a man after your own heart. We pray, Father, that that will be our experience, that we will be men and women after your own heart. In thy name we pray. Amen.